Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Grapple fans. Welcome back to another episode, episode number blah, 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 a lot. I can't remember. Haven't researched the episode number. I never do. But welcome back. We're back again. And, say it's been a big week. Not really. It hasn't been a big week. But there's a big show coming up this weekend, so we are here to preview that. Of course, being the Elimination Chamber. But a few other bits and pieces to chat about as well. So obviously not just myself to talk through that. Do enlist the services of my audio tag team partner, the one and only Mo Chatra. Good evening, Mo.
Evening, Andy. Evening. Yeah. It's one of those funny weeks, isn't it? There's a big talking point around a match, which we'll come on to, but other than that, it's not been exactly action-packed and newsworthy, much like the last several weeks. So whilst we've been away for a couple of weeks, there's not exactly been a great deal that's happened in that time, has there?
No, let's be honest. There hasn't been an awful lot happening. Slow, steady build towards these couple of shows, which obviously are just killing a bit of time before we get going towards WrestleMania fully in earnest. And I would imagine after once we get this Elimination Chamber out the way, then the WrestleMania card will really start to take shape, and then I think things will start to pick up somewhat more. We're going to talk about the Chamber. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw, which included an extraordinary match, it's got to be said, and an extraordinary performance from Seth Rollins. We'll also talk about some of the inductees into this year's Hall of Fame. But first things first, Mo, SmackDown. Now, I'm a little concerned about SmackDown. Last year, it was by far the better of the two shows. It was really fun to watch. Nicely covered in 2 hours, much easier to watch than a three-hour Raw that was dragging and was cumbersome. SmackDown was snappy. It made sense. It had storylines. They were building characters. It wasn't always great, but it felt much easier to watch than Raw, where Raw felt a bit more like a bit of a chore to keep watching every week. And the tables have really, really turned. Raw's a much fresher show. It's not fantastic by any means, but certainly a lot easier to watch than SmackDown. And I've got to say, I'm concerned with SmackDown, and it feels so repetitive. I feel like I'm watching the same episode week after week after week. It's like wrestling Groundhog Day.
Oh, you can say that again. I really don't understand how they can mess up a show and churn out such mediocre tripe week in, week out with the likes of Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn and others at your disposal. When they carried out the shuffle of the rosters last year, I thought that SmackDown was going to turn into a really, really good show. I thought they had some great talent on the roster in terms of in-ring, but also from a character perspective as well. I thought they had a lot that they can do with the talent that they assembled. And yet, what we've had since the summer, ironically, is that we've had consistently poor television. And it just baffles me that even if they can't come up with compelling storylines that grab people's attention, at least they should be able to churn out really good wrestling at the very least. And yet they've not even been able to do that. Often we will see decent matches, good matches, but nothing that really blows you away. And yet when you've got three of the very best workers in the world in AJ, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens on your roster, and you can't even achieve that, then you know something's seriously wrong.
Yeah, and there's also Shinsuke Nakamura on there. They've got the Usos, they've got New Day, they've got Charlotte. You know, there's so much talent on that roster. I did wonder this week whether there was more adverts, there was more ad breaks in SmackDown than there actually was on Raw. It was just ridiculous. We had an ad break, went to a promo, come back, an ad break. Then we go, and then there's an entrance, then we go to another ad break. It was like three or four ad breaks in the space of around 20 minutes. It really breaks the momentum, and you know, and they keep doing them halfway between matches all the time. You know, halfway through a match, it takes you out of the moment. And these aren't like long 20-minute matches. You know, these are 10-minute matches. You know, do we really need to have an ad break in the middle of a 10-minute match?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's one of a whole list of problems with the show, the formatting. Clearly, the storylines don't click, haven't clicked. And to be fair, I mean, I wouldn't put it fully down to the writers. I go back to 2017 and I look back at somebody like Kevin Owens, who's a remarkable talent. He's so elite in terms of what you can do as an all-round performer. And yet, by his lofty standards, I thought he had a disappointing 2017. The feud with AJ Styles in particular for me was a big letdown, and to an extent you can blame that on the writers, you know, by not really coming up with a really interesting storyline. But even storylines aside, when the two paired up in the ring, often the matches they had were underwhelming, and I said as much at the time. So you do wonder if the whole roster is stuck in a bit of a rut whereby the talent feel let down by the writers, and they don't really feel as if the product that they're having to go out and perform on a week-to-week basis really inspires them, and so they go through the motions as a result. So for me, the shuffle of the rosters can't come soon enough. I suspect we'll probably have to wait till after WrestleMania, but you know, there's an urgent need now to kind of shuffle things around, because it clearly isn't working. And I just think that, they need to consider some of the things that we've talked about in the past, about perhaps having one or two of the divisions solely based on particular shows. And so, you know, maybe the women's division all being located on something like SmackDown would actually be pretty cool. I think the chances are that's quite unlikely, but they need to do something to freshen it up. I think for the meantime, we'll just have to sit and suffer in silence and continue to endure what is a pretty hard watch. And it feels almost like a chore to watch this show rather than something that you really look forward to watching.
Yeah, there's a few things to really get. I want to get off my chest on this one. Things like, you know, these cartoon graphics that they've introduced over the past few weeks, they've got to stop that. Really, really, please stop that. Hate those cartoon graphics. What the hell is that? You know, we're supposed to be taking on, looking at serious characters, and then they throw in this, and it's like, really takes you out of the moment. You know, and the New Day and the pancakes, like, just stop. Stop the pancakes. Enough of the pancakes. It's not funny. It's what I don't see the point to it. It's just annoying. It's pancakes. Why? Turn them heel. They need something new. They need freshening up. Ty Dillinger, why bring him up from NXT when he was just getting hot if you're not even going to use him on television? You know, he's barely ever on TV. What was the point? Just leave him in NXT. He was getting hot. He was getting some momentum going there. He could have added more to his character, developed him more, then bring him up. I don't think he would have been anything more than a mid-carder, but he could have been a lot more solid. Bring him up and then don't put him on TV. What was the point? Really, just what was the point? Bobby Roode, you know, as such, his babyface character is lame. It's smiley. There's no edge to it. There's no nothing to it. You can tell he's just reading a script. He is not fulfilling his potential. There is so much more to Bobby Roode. The obnoxious heel Bobby Roode is so much more natural. It flows. He gets the heat off the crowd. It's great. Let him do it. He's so much more fun to watch. It's so much more entertaining. It gets a crowd into it. And isn't that the whole, you know, point to it? Audience participation. How many times have we heard that before? And Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, and I'll come to you on this one as well, Moyes. What is that? This is something, and I think that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have suffered from this as well, and even to an extent, AJ Styles. They have become props, and the WWE title has become a prop in this overarching story of Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. If there's no match that's going to come out of this between them two, if Daniel Bryan cannot get back in the ring, cannot be medically cleared, what is the point of all this?
Well, exactly, yeah. There has to be a purpose to all of this, surely. You know, they've been teasing it and building it for months and months. The thing that, you know, we talked about going back to last year, in fact, was that this surely has to be leading to a match at WrestleMania between Shane and Daniel Bryan. And if it isn't, if there's going to be nothing that will come from it, if it's just meant to be an ongoing kind of thing that, you know, the general manager and the commissioner have got heat, they've got beef, and if that's all there is to it, then, you know, I'd rather just scrap it all together and move on, because that kind of stuff has been done to death and everyone just gets bored, restless with having to watch stuff like that. It's just such tired, cliche, unimaginative, boring crap. And, you know, we just need something different. And as you say, it does detract from, you know, the talents that are out there and, you know, the WWE title itself. So unless it's going to lead to a match with consequences, then, you know, just stop it. Stop it now.
Yeah, I mean, Shane and Daniel Bryan in a, you know, in the corner, or Shane in one corner, Daniel Bryan in the other corner of someone facing each other. That is not how things end like that. People don't care about stuff like that. It's got to end, or he's got to be medically cleared, and then we get something. And then, fair enough, there will be a point to it. But I still don't like the fact that some of these top performers and that top title has been used in a prop along this way. But hey, let's move it along to Raw then. Everyone's been talking about it more. The gauntlet match, I mean, it feels unique because I don't know how long it is since we had something like this on Raw, where the first hour of the show, I don't think we've ever had the first hour of the show taken solely by a match, but we start the show off just pure into a match, and it goes and it goes and it goes. And Seth Rollins, I mean, 65 minutes back-to-back beating Roman Reigns and John Cena, and then making storyline sense for them then to be defeated. But what a performance from Seth Rollins. What about that gauntlet match and what about Seth Rollins?
Wow. I applaud the WWE for doing something very different. As far as I can recall, they've never had a gauntlet match like that. I mean, they've had gauntlet matches before on TV, but certainly nothing that's gone over an hour, which is what this match did. And, you know, the match itself was really quite something. I thought the first half of the match was better than the second half, you know, because obviously we had Seth Rollins heavily involved in the early half of the overall match, and certainly the work he did with Roman Reigns and especially with John Cena was absolutely superb. Later on, it certainly started to tail off, but overall, one of the best matches we've seen on WWE television in quite some time. Really was a highlight of Raw over the last several months. And, you know, even though it is a very, very long match, certainly kept you engaged throughout most of it, really. And, you know, it was very, very enjoyable. Seth Rollins, this is the kind of match he needed because, you know, it's fair to say that his face turn and his whole time as a babyface has really not been the kind of success the company and I'm sure he would have hoped for. But a match like this did a lot more for him than any angle or storyline or interview has managed to achieve. And, you know, finally got some momentum behind him. And I tell you what, I mean, his, you know, plans in terms of WrestleMania, we were kind of speculating about the last time we were on Pro Wrestling Index. And we weren't really all that sure, as far as I can recall, about exactly where he was heading. But you know, on the back of that kind of performance, you've got to put him in a feature match. You've got to do something really important with him. You can't put him in something like the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, you know, on the pre-show and just have him as one of the forgotten parts of the undercard. You know, he needs to be a featured star of the whole show. I mean, we all know how talented he is. When he was the WWE champion, you know, he was exceptional before injuries kind of threw him off course in terms of where his career was going. But, you know, he needed something like this to try and get back on track, and I feel it did that. And, you know, if they have good plans for him for the next few weeks leading into WrestleMania, then... you know, finally, his babyface turn could really kickstart. And I tell you what, also, there are some rumours that if Roman Reigns, as is predicted by some, wins the Elimination Chamber and then beats Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania, and especially if he turns heel, then who better is an opponent than Seth Rollins?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get to obviously previewing the chamber itself, and I guess this was a good way to get some interest going in that match, in that event, and obviously a lot's going to become clearer at the end of that. I suspect we might see the seeds being sown for some matches, and obviously we'll know who Brock Lesnar's opponent's going to be. But what a unique idea, eh, Mo, that you could get people over just by letting them go out in the ring and actually put on a really good match.
Well, exactly, yeah. That's a bit of a novel idea, isn't it? you know, who'd have ever thought that you can just kind of get people over in a match? I mean, never worked for Stone Cold Steve Austin against Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. No. It was all other kinds of stuff.
Yeah. What he really needs is a fake girlfriend, on-screen girlfriend, and then they can bring someone in. They can have a love triangle angle. That'll really get us interested in a match for WrestleMania.
We've never had that before. That'd be something different.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that came from it, I guess it was inevitable as well that we would see Braun Strowman at the end of it. And Braun Strowman, be Braun Strowman, and so domineering. Crowd loving Braun Strowman. And he's a fully-fledged babyface now, it seems. He just seems to revel in the fact that the crowd just want more. One more power slam, one more running power slam, one more time. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. I've got to be honest. I do enjoy it. It's just fun to watch.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's something that we just certainly don't get much of in terms of fun on the SmackDown side. And certainly on the Raw side, It's good to see that. So, you know, and that's part of the reason why Raw as a show, going back really to, I'd say, the last 6 months, has consistently been, you know, a pretty decent watch, and often a more than a decent watch, a pretty good watch, because, you know, they've got characters that have direction. The storylines on the whole are tight. Nothing that's really mind-blowing is like an all-time legendary type of storyline on the show. Nothing of that nature. But, you know, it's all pretty solid, makes sense, characters that are over and are getting more over on a week-to-week basis. As you say, Strowman, Elias, and one or two others. And, you know, it's a show that for a long time lived in the shadow of SmackDown, even though Raw's obviously always been the premier show, being the longest running one. For a lot of years, it was SmackDown that was seen as the better show. And yet, you know, there has been a role reversal, and it's really Raw that blows SmackDown out of the water. And you know, that's all credit to the writers as well. I think that they do a very good job of booking the show. And you know, it is certainly a more entertaining show than it has been on a consistent basis going back quite a number of years, in fact. So all kudos to them.
Yeah, lots of credit where credit is due, and we're giving them pats on the back and saying really nice things about them. But one thing on Raw that was memorable for the wrong reasons, and this is where we'd have to turn the tables on the writers for me, is Asuka clearly has not yet mastered speaking English, and obviously speaking English to a live crowd must be difficult for her. You know, she has been very limited in what she's been saying before. They've been very careful, obviously, in what she does, how often she speaks and how long she speaks for and all that. And that's very sensible to protect the character. But to give someone who's not, obviously not that comfortable with English, to give them a script, which they clearly struggling with, and then send them out there on live TV with that, that was really uncomfortable for you, Winmore.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, it was just a really, really dumb thing to do. No, she was out there, she was trying, but, you know, it came across really poor. And, you know, you could see fans in the front row just laughing at her because they thought the whole thing was quite hilarious. And that was absolutely not the desired effect. You know, the promo was there for her to hype up her match with Nia Jax. And instead, you know, she just turned into a comedy figure out there, cutting a really bad promo. And my fear is that, you know, some writers will think, oh, well, maybe we can just turn into a comedy act. And then lo and behold, they'll end her undefeated streak. And then she'll just be going out there on a week-to-week basis, cutting really silly promos and almost taking advantage of her in a way. And now for somebody who's so talented in the ring, who's also very over, that would be really disappointing and almost irresponsible. And it would just show that certainly in terms of talent from countries where obviously English isn't a first language, then their kind of attitude towards such talent is concerning. So, you know, and I'm certainly somebody who's long time fan of Japanese wrestling and have followed it for many, many years.
Well, just on that, Moz, sorry to cut in there, but, you know, have you ever seen any, in your years of watching Japanese wrestling, have you ever seen anything where they would then force American or Canadian or British wrestlers to try and do interviews to a live audience in Japanese?
No. I mean, in Japan...
they haven't been, you know, that dumb?
Believe it or not, no. No, they haven't. No, I mean storylines are presented in a different kind of way in Japan, generally speaking. But you know, if you've ever had wrestlers from the West speak in Japanese, it's not because the promoters rather are asking them to go out there and embarrass themselves. It's more because the talent themselves just want to go out there and just pop the crowd. And so likes of Kenny Omega in the present time, but even you know, likes of Stan Hansen in the past would go out there and, you know, just say the odd one or two things in Japanese just to get a nice pop out of the crowd. But it was all done in a nice way, certainly not in an underhanded way by the bookers or promoters to send their you know, foreign talents out there to look bad. And that's really how the whole Asuka thing came across. It was really, really poorly thought out in terms of the booking people. And they should know exactly how good or bad she will be in terms of cutting promos. And the other thing also is that, you know, cutting promos are not the be all and end all. I mean, she was very effective as a character on NXT without cutting promos. And if she did, it was very, very rarely. And often she talked in a native language. So, you know, that kind of stuff was just really, really ill-advised. And I'm just hoping that, you know, they don't turn it into some kind of comedy storyline, because if they do, then yet again it's another example of them allowing a talent to go to waste and for no reason, for no good reason at all.
Yeah, let's fingers crossed it was just they got a bit carried away. We'll learn the lesson and curtail things for the future, and certainly not go down that kind of route that you've mentioned. Let's hope not. So before we get onto the chamber, though, I just want to get your reaction to the list of nominees into the Hall of Fame so far this year. So we've obviously, Goldberg was the first one named, big name. Whatever people think of his contribution to the business and what he was capable of doing in the ring, you know, he is a big name. The Dudley Boys and Ivory. I mean, what's been your thoughts so far on the Hall of Fame inductees for 2018?
It's been an okay kind of set of names that have been announced, but nothing that really kind of leaps out and gets me too excited about the Hall of Fame ceremony, whereby I'm thinking, right, this will be really, really good. Really looking forward to watching it, to see that particular individual or team get inducted. Obviously, as you say, we've got Goldberg going in. You know, he's a bit of a polarizing figure for many. You know, there are those that think that, you know, even though his tenure in the business is over, you know, two or three different spells, hasn't been all that extensive. Whilst he's been around, you know, he's certainly, you know, been one of those few that has shifted the needle. And certainly during his initial WCW run, you know, he became a huge, huge star. You know, you can't underestimate just how big a star he became. And he was also a sizable ratings draw as well. So
he certainly, you know, made his mark, you know, regardless of, you know, we all know he's limited. You know, and there was a reason why they kept his matches to sort of around about 3 minutes. He was very limited, but he was impactful. And he, like you say, you know, he really did make a difference.
He did, absolutely. And, you know, even in his most recent WWE run, again, there were those that thought, you know, what he was doing in the ring was very poor, and also was taking away potentially a spot from one of the younger talents that are around full time that the company could have invested in and turned into a big star that would then be around for years to come. And I get all of that, but, you know, nonetheless, he was and still is a big, big name. And, you know, bear in mind, this is a Hall of Fame that has Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame. So if somebody like he is in, then I certainly can't see why anyone should object to somebody like Goldberg being in. But Dudley Boys, you know, that's a decent addition. You know, obviously, they've done a lot in their career, won numerous tag team titles, have plenty of stories to tell, some of which they probably won't be able to. You know, their induction should be pretty entertaining as well. Ivory, oh dear.
You're not having Ivory? I mean, she does have a genuine, you know, pedigree. She came from, was it Glow? Before
Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah. So she, I mean, she was never a real headliner, but I think she was, I guess, you know, if you were looking at the sort of the men's division, she'd be like a solid mid-carder.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, this was at a time when the female roster was all of about six women. So, you know, for me, this is really, really scraping the barrel. And again, I understand why the WWE wants to induct at least one female per year. But, you know, I'd rather they'd have gone with, you know, somebody else. I don't know. Let's see, like... who is Mark Merrow? Sable, that's it. So, Mark Merrow's ex-wife, Sable. Now, I thought she did more for the Attitude Era than Ivory ever did. You know, Ivory just didn't do anything, really. And on top of that, you know, Sable is also the wife of Brock Lesnar. So, you know, why not induct somebody like her in? I think she'd be a welcome addition to the, you know, Hall of Fame. But, yeah, that was an odd one for me. And then we've got Jeff Jarrett as a big surprise for the announcement earlier this week.
Yeah, and I nearly forgot about that one. Yeah, Jeff Jarrett, Double J. Interesting that they highlighted so much about his early stuff there. The old J-E-double-F-J-R-E-J-double-R-E-double-T. That's why I wasn't Jeff Jarrett. Interesting they went on a lot of his early stuff there, though, rather than more of his stuff towards the end. And obviously not going to talk too much about 15 years of career he's had since he left.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I suppose that they can talk about his WCW run because they own the footage to that. And I suppose they will, in fairness, let him talk about TNA, but that's one of the few companies that they prefer not to be acknowledged on their television for some reason, which I still don't understand that mentality, because TNA is no threat whatsoever to the WWE. You know, they're just a promotion that barely survives from week to week. So, I mean, I don't really see the harm in mentioning them. And I'm sure he will, you know, talk about his time in TNA because that was a big part of his career. But yeah, I think WWE's focus when it comes to you know, the video package and stuff like that will obviously be on the kind of stuff that they own of him. But yeah, so far, you know, those are the people that are going in, and you know, I'm not hugely excited about those names, but you know, we might get one or two more that will be added in the next couple of weeks that might just be of more interest. They're in New Orleans, Louisiana, which was a territory that Bill Watts and the UWF ran, and as we've seen in recent WrestleManias, they have liked to pop in one or two names that were local to the territory where WrestleMania has been run. So, you know, I think when they ran Houston or Dallas in the last couple of years, I think they had the Freebirds there. So we might have one or two who are ex-UWF alumnus going in. But, yeah, compared to some of the recent years, Hall of Fames, somewhat underwhelming. But I'll still watch it, and I'm sure there will still be some decent kind of promos that are cut and acceptance speaches. But and then there will obviously be the odd one or two car crash segments as well that will go way, way too long. But you know,
yeah, hopefully Goldberg doesn't get his son out and take his shirt off again.
Oh yeah, well yeah.
<It's>, I don't know how many times I've come back to that one. Yeah, the Dudley boys. That you know that's going to be a good induction speech if they're allowed to speak anyway. So are we then main event? Let's get on to it. The Elimination Chamber pay-per-view this weekend then. Let's start with the tag team titles. Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar, taking on Titus Worldwide, Titus O'Neil, and Apollo. Oh, it's not Apollo Crews now. It's just Apollo. I guess they drop. Everyone goes to one name, don't they? I'm not at all taken by this so-called feud. I'm not buying into it one little bit. It's not grabbed me. It doesn't even feel in the slightest bit convincing that these, you know, that this kick-ass team that's been brutalizing people for the last year suddenly starts losing matches and gets beaten by these lower mid-carders. I know it's only a placeholder until we start building towards WrestleMania, but this has been, yeah, disappointing, I think might be fair.
Yeah, I mean, their match on Raw this past week didn't do anything for me. I mean, Apollo's a very talented guy, but he's yet another one that hasn't been able to really hit the kind of performance levels that he was delivering on the independent scene and over in Dragon Gate in Japan prior to heading into the WWE. Titus O'Neil, you just know what you're going to get with him, which is not very much. That's it. Yeah, that's pretty much the highlight of you know, his entire act and his shtick. But yeah, it's really just to give Cesaro and Sheamus something to do to tick over to WrestleMania. As to what they will do at that event, who knows? But in the meantime, you know, they'll just plod their way through a 10-minute match and try to get the most out of Titus as they can. And hopefully they'll be able to do some good stuff with Apollo. But, you know, we're not going to get a title change. The champions will retain. If they do lose the titles, then I think that's the time to officially give up on the show and start watching Tiddlywinks or something. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no way they're going to change the titles over here. You would imagine it's got to be something like the Revival, perhaps Gallows and Anderson, perhaps a three-way at WrestleMania, something like that. You would imagine the Revival's going to be involved in there somewhere anyway. But yeah, it's a very poor placeholder. Next one up, we've got Woken, Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt, which makes me feel even more towards the point that we made on that 25th anniversary edition of Raw. Why put them into the ring in what felt like a throwaway match? You know, for these two that have been going back and forth with promos on the screen for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, and now we're supposed to be interested in a match that's already happened. It just, I'm afraid I enjoy Matt Hardy's character. It's fun, it's entertaining. I don't enjoy Bray Wyatt, haven't done for a long time, but this feud felt like it finished weeks ago.
Well, welcome to the world of Bray Wyatt. Everything he touches turns to shit, including the Woken Matt Hardy character. I mean, there you have one of the elite characters in the wrestling business over the last couple of years. It really has been. I mean, it really is staggering that, you know, TNA, one of the most inept wrestling companies of all time, was able to more effectively book that character than the WWE has been able to since they sort of launched it in the last couple of months. And that just boggles my mind. WWE should have been the ideal platform for that kind of gimmick. It was a major league gimmick stuck in a really dead company.
Not even minor league.
And I thought, okay, as soon as this legal wrangle over the character is sorted out and he's allowed to use the gimmick, you know, it will just catch fire. And it just is absolutely unbelievable that the first person they stick him with is, you know, the walking version of, the kind of anti-Jürgen Klopp, who most things that he touches turn to gold. Most things that Bray Wyatt touch turn to shit. And, you know, somehow he's been able to turn the Matt Hardy character into something that's almost unwatchable, which is just incredible. So the sooner this whole feud ends, the better. Anytime I even see Wyatt on the screen, I start to feel physically repulsed now. And that's not because of how he looks. It's just the character just causes me to have an adverse reaction. And so I have to just hit the fast forward button, get it to 30 speed and move on to the next segment as quickly as possible. It just really, really is an absolute waste of time now. That character is beyond dead. Nobody cares whatsoever. So the sooner this feud ends, the better for Matt. And then as for Bray, if I don't see him again, then it'll be too soon. But other than that, I've got no problem with it.
A loving eulogy to one Bray Wyatt. okay, so I take from that you're not completely taken on Bray Wyatt. You're not entirely a big fan of Bray Wyatt. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Now, we've already talked about the promo, and it was poor planning, and it was real. It really was folly to hand her a script and get her to try and memorize a script in a non-native tongue like that, one that she's certainly not comfortable with. So that's not helped. It certainly hasn't helped. Now, they keep talking about it, the undefeated streak, and the thing from this match as well is that if Nia Jax wins, that the women's championship match at WrestleMania will become a triple threat match. So, Mo, do you think they're going to do it? Do you think they would be so foolish as to end Asuka's streak in this way?
Well, I like to think not, but, we've seen far more stupid things delivered on WWE television, haven't we? So it's unlikely, but I just can't rule it out. I think it just makes so much more sense for Asuka to go into that match at WrestleMania with the undefeated streak intact and challenging. We'll come on to the title match in a moment, but whoever the winner of that match is, in the hope that she can go into that match with that undefeated streak intact, and it will just add a bit more to that bout. If they allow that streak to end against Nia Jax, it just would be, again, extremely short-sighted that they build this whole streak up over a very long period going back to her time in NXT, and to have it end on a show like this, it'd just be a waste of building that whole streak up over a very long period. So it's unlikely that they'll finish it at this show, but you just can't rule it out. I mean, that said, I still have a sneaking feeling that there will be a triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. But I think Asuka will win this match. So therefore, I don't think Nia Jax will be that third woman in that contest.
Yeah, I must admit, I've just been, I don't know, that for some reason, I'm just starting to get worried thinking, I think they might just do this. They might just do it. And the thing is, it's like the genie in the bottle. Once you've opened it, that's it. It's out. And I think once the streak ends, that will be it. She then becomes open to the 50-50 booking that everybody else is accosted to. So my personal feeling more is that I obviously would not end that streak here. I would not end that streak at WrestleMania. I would keep that streak intact, and then it be, you know, her to lose that undefeated streak should be at WrestleMania next year. And then that in itself makes that women's championship match so big, and whoever beats her, it's a huge thing. That's my personal feeling.
Yeah, that's a great shout. That's a very good shout. And certainly, she went all the way till WrestleMania 35, I think it would be, with that undefeated streak intact. That'd be incredible. And it would certainly be huge for that women's championship match, whoever she was to defend it against. But even if they decided to kind of hold it until SummerSlam and then perhaps go with somebody challenging Asuka for the title at that show, because that in itself is a huge show as well. That'd still be something. But yeah, for me, I agree. It would be more sensible for that streak to end with her dropping the title than her losing a match just to add a third person to that women's championship match at WrestleMania.
Absolutely. And talking of the women's championship then, first ever women's elimination chamber match. So Alexa Bliss obviously defending the championship against Bayley, Mandy Rose, Mickie James, Sasha Banks and Sonya Deville. Thoughts on this one then? Because I've got to say more, it's another step, isn't it, that this move where the women's division are having the same types of matches as men, and it's moving into that sort of that mindset, isn't it, of equality. No more is it, you know, bras and panties and glorified models just slapping each other and pulling each other's hair and squealing for 5 minutes. You know, these are athletes, these are wrestlers having wrestling matches, and they're working towards parity. So another step in the direction of it being historic. And just, but obviously your thoughts on that and what you're kind of expecting in terms of match quality.
Yeah, absolutely agree. This is exactly the type of thing that the WWE needs to do to get the women's roster, women's divisions accepted as being on an equal footing to the men. And that's certainly something to be applauded. What I don't like, just to go off at a very quick related tangent, is WWE kind of presenting itself as a revolutionary in terms of the evolution of women's wrestling. And about how all of these things, like the first women's Royal Rumble, the first women's Elimination Chamber match, and all of this kind of stuff is something that's unique. And prior to it, the history of women's wrestling was all about, as you say, things like the Brian Panties match and stuff like that. That's absolute nonsense. You had promotions like All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling going back to the 1960s that were promoting women's wrestling in exactly the same way as men's wrestling, athletic contests where women were presented in a respectable way. And as it happens, All Japan Women in the 90s were churning out some of the best matches you'll ever have seen. And that's part of the reason why when the WWE resurrected its women's roster back around 93, they brought in a bunch of women from All Japan Women, most notably Bull Nakano, who had a pretty good match against Alundra Blaze at SummerSlam 94. So I just wanted to point that one out, that yes, I mean, it's good that WWE is doing all of this, but you know, they're far from revolutionary. There were promotions that were doing this kind of stuff in terms of how women's wrestling should be portrayed many, many, many years prior to all of this. Now, as for the match itself, I expect it to be a really good one. You know, we've got some very good, you know, talents in the match. Bayley, Mickie James, Sasha Banks, and Alexa Bliss. You know, it's certainly Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. They're there to make up the numbers. And it's a very huge match for those two individuals being on the summer main event of the Elimination Chamber show. But, you know, certainly it's all about the big four names in the contest. And, you know, I'd be shocked if Alexa doesn't retain the title. She's had a very good title run since just after SummerSlam. And, you know, it just make all the sense in the world for her to go into WrestleMania as a champion to defend the title against Asuka. But one of the things I wrote about in the Daily Mirror this week is that I do expect it to be a three-way match. And so I would expect Sasha Banks to have quite a significant role in this contest and to somehow end up eventually in that triple threat match at WrestleMania with Alexa and Asuka. But I think Sasha will fall short, and I think Alexa will retain, and I think it will be a really good match as well.
What about if Sasha Banks wins it then, and then Alexa Bliss invokes a rematch at WrestleMania? That's how she gets a rematch. So she is the one then that becomes the third part in the match at WrestleMania.
Well, that's a great shout, and that's a very plausible scenario as well. Clearly, she'll be entitled to seeking that rematch, and Ron looking to get that the next night on Raw. She could easily say, well, actually, I'd like to join that match between you and Asuka and make it a triple threat. So that's a really good shout, Andy. That's certainly a possibility as well. Yeah. And if that was the way that it panned out, then, you know, I'd be fine with that title reign coming to an end. You know, if we think back to last year, especially around this time last year, we were kind of moaning about the frequency of title changes, whereas it's been refreshing to see this women's championship not change hands for the better part of 6 months now.
Yeah, if it does I'd actually say that on multiple titles, they've resisted that temptation of it being the hot potato that it was last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, if that's the idea, then that's something I'd be cool with, because if they don't do that, then where do they really go with Sasha? I mean, Sasha's a special talent. And, you know, she was somewhat lost in the shuffle, I thought, last year. Obviously, last year was all about building Alexa Bliss as the big heel character on Raw after, obviously, Charlotte went over to SmackDown. But, you know, they need to do something big with Sasha as well. Otherwise, you know, she'll get that whole air of being just another talent and another mid-card performer. And that's what they don't want with Sasha, because she's a heck of a talent in the ring. And, you know, she's certainly somebody who comes across like a big star, and they need to try the best they can to retain that for her. And one of those ways is to have her in a feature match at WrestleMania. And for me, that match has to be this title match that will involve Asuka at the very least.
Yeah, I think, you know, those hints of Sasha and Bayley, you know, once again, going at it in the way that they did in NXT, perhaps Sasha turning on Bayley. I think we're getting the hints that could well be happening. You feel that maybe that won't happen then until after WrestleMania now?
Yeah, I think that's you know, another possibility coming out of this match that, you know, they'll tease possibly the tension between the two, with Sasha again costing Bayley a victory, or certainly winning at the expense of Bayley, and Bayley coming very close. But, you know, I just don't think they'll pull the trigger on that heel turn just yet. I think that they'll like to hold it off maybe to WrestleMania, possibly even the post WrestleMania Raw, the very next night after that show on the 9th of April. But I mean, it's possible. It's possible that they might go with that. And then obviously that sets up Bayley against Sasha at WrestleMania, which again would be a really good match. And, you know, they're going to have about, you know, 15 hours to fill on that show, or whatever kind of crazy amount of time that they'll allocate to the event. So they'll have to have a lot of matches. And, you know, that might be one match that they decide to go with. But, you know, that for me would still be something that potentially could get lost in the shuffle. Whereas, you know, as a championship match featuring Sasha Banks, I prefer to see that for Sasha. Then we, you know, we could potentially have Sasha win the title there, beating Alexa, whilst Asuka still retains that undefeated streak, and then she can get a chance to perhaps win the title at SummerSlam. So the beauty of it is, you know, there's all types of different scenarios with the women on the roster. So the roster is reasonably healthy, I'd say. And, you know, that's clearly the kind of upside to where they can go with a championship belt.
Yeah, and that just leaves the men's Elimination Chamber match. Braun Strowman, Elias, Finn Balor, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and The Miz. So we go to seven in this instead of six. Easily done, obviously. Just start with a triple threat and then start introducing the pods. I've got to say, it's a good lineup, Mo. I like the lineup. There's so many different permutations there. Obviously, the winner gets to battle Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. And as you alluded to earlier in the show, obviously Roman Reigns is the hot favorite to win this. The feeling, I guess, is that for a long time that they've just been waiting for Roman Reigns to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And I guess if you took the emotion aside, you would say that, you know, Roman Reigns has paid his dues. You know, he's had some fantastic matches. He's given the nod to people here, there. He's done the job for people where he's required, as we've seen John Cena do in previous years. He's bided his time and he's earned his shot, but it seems that the crowd still will not accept it just yet. They just will not accept him as a babyface. So do you think that we definitely get Roman Reigns, or do you think the crowd reaction means that they might just use this as a bit of a swerve?
Well, again, I this week predicted in the mirror Strowman to win, even though if you look at the betting odds for the show, Roman Reigns is by far and away the favourite to win the match. And, you know, you'd be surprised if he doesn't. But I just have a feeling that, you know, if they decide to do something different, you know, Strowman would be the ideal alternative to Reigns. You know, Strowman and Lesnar, when they work together, you know, the work has just been magic. They've really clicked really, really well. And, you know, that'd be a huge match in every conceivable way. And something that I think fans would really get quite excited about, you know, this guy that is just organically turned into a really, really big star with his title chase. That had started last year. Obviously, he was part of the match for the championship at SummerSlam back in August. And, you know, for him to finally get that one-on-one with Brock and potentially win that title off him at the biggest show of the year, that would really be quite something. But, you know, everything points towards Roman Reigns winning the contest and going into WrestleMania as the opponent for Brock. But I think they have to turn him heel. And so really it's a case of whether they move in that direction at this match and perhaps have him do something that really cements a heel turn at the Elimination Chamber to set up a real clear face heel divide going into WrestleMania for his build up with Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, or perhaps they hold fire until the big show itself and have him turn heel on the 8th of April. But yeah, I'll stick with my pick of Braun, and I'd love to see that as the outcome, and I'm sure many fans will as well. And I think that'll certainly be a far more positive reaction than if Roman Reigns wins. And I dread to think how deafening the boos will be, but you know, that's almost something that goes without saying at this time.
Yeah, what about John Cena then? He's been, obviously, in promo-wise, he's been putting across that this is it, you know, and first time in 15 years, he's not sure whether he'll be on the WrestleMania card. Obviously, we all know he will be on there in some fashion. You know, is this them trying to get that across and then he breaks the record here at WrestleMania? Or do you think that was somewhere within this match we're going to get the WrestleMania opponent for John Cena?
Yeah, I would say it's the latter. I think it's somebody possibly costing Cena and setting up a match for WrestleMania. And, you know, there's, again, the beauty of it is there's several viable opponents for him. Elias is the one that I'd like to see. You know, he's another one who organically is getting over and has made massive strides over the last few months. And, you know, I think he's somebody who has real potential as a heel. And, you know, we've seen it obviously looking beyond the WWE in terms of his future, increasingly doing work in the media, movies, TV. You know, I think that after WrestleMania, we won't be seeing a great deal of him anyway. So given that, I think it'd be really good to see him use WrestleMania to put over one of the younger talents who will be around week to week, month to month. And, you know, Elias is a good opponent for him to be paired with. I think they can do some really good work to build up that match leading up to WrestleMania. And, you know, for Elias to then go over at that show would be really refreshing, because one of my common complaints about WrestleMania is going back nearly 10 years now is that they really, as a company, haven't utilized WrestleMania to build, you know, the main eventers of the future. And, you know, it's become too much of a nostalgia show. So let's see a bit of a reversal of that and see some of the younger talent put over at the expense of the older part-timers. That'll be a refreshing change from what you've tended to see over the last 7, 8, 9, even 10 years.
See, I know you've picked Braun Strowman there for winning it, but I kind of fancy that we could come out of this with John Cena going up against Braun Strowman at WrestleMania.
Well, that's another brilliant shout. I'll tell you what, you're on fire today, Andy, aren't you?
I'm on fire. I haven't finished yet.
No, that's another really, really intriguing contest. You know, Braun Strowman is somebody, as I mentioned earlier, who's, you know, made massive strides in getting over one of the hottest acts in the company. But what he is lacking is that really defining victory in a singles contest against a really established name. And who better than John Cena?
At WrestleMania so as well.
That's a really intriguing one if that was to be the outcome from the Elimination Chamber. But yeah, looking forward to that. But what one thing I will say, though, is I really hope that we don't see The Undertaker get involved in that leading to the rumoured match between he and John Cena. I know there was a lot of talk about that a couple of months ago, even a few weeks ago, but no, I really prefer, and I'm sure many fans agree with this, prefer to see Undertaker remain retired. You know, he went out in not the ideal way, but in a good way as was possible in the circumstances last year. For him to then come back, it would almost feel wrong. So I just hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely don't want to see Undertaker in the ring again. I'm, you know, as a fan of his work, it's done now. It was finished in the best way possible at that time, like you said. So the last one I do fancy that we'll also, a spin-off from this will be Finn Balor chasing down the Intercontinental title with Miz. But I'm intrigued what you think of Seth Rollins for this then. Could he be the dark horse to win this match and that in somehow, some fashion, however they, I don't know whether some kind of a schmoz finish in this or something like that, that we end up with Roman Reigns then in trying to insert himself into Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, almost about turn from WrestleMania a few years ago, where it was Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins showed up with the briefcase.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, you think back to even, I think it was a Royal Rumble a couple of years ago when we had that triple threat match with Seth, John Cena and Brock Lesnar, which was one of the best WWE matches of the decade. It was a phenomenal match. And, you know, the few times that Seth has been in the ring with Brock, you know, Brock's had some of his best ever matches because he's, you know, Seth is, you know, a very, very good worker when he's fit and motivated. And, you know, he's somebody who can really make Brock look good by taking these great bumps for the suplexes and, treated like a rag doll. And, you know, he doesn't mind that. And he, you know, helps to get Brock over with some of his killer moves. And, you know, I think Brock really enjoys working with him. I think that's unlikely, but it's still another possibility because, you know, clearly they put Rollins to look strong this past week on Raw. It wasn't just something that was done by accident. And so they must have some plans for him. But I still would be surprised if they decided to go with Seth Rollins against Brock as the main event of WrestleMania, or even Seth against Roman against Brock, as you say, through some kind of schmoz finish at the outcome of that Elimination Chamber main event. But I would think that Seth will probably be set up in a singles match against somebody else. Again, this past week, there's been some talk about Seth against somebody like, you know, the Miz, but I just think that would be a waste. You know, I think they can do something a bit different with him, and I'd really quite be keen that if it's Roman Reigns emerging victorious at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship, and especially if Roman Reigns turns heel, then Seth Rollins as a babyface would be the ideal opponent. And so getting him into a match at WrestleMania where he has a really great match, comes across like a really super over babyface to set up a program that can start on the Raw after WrestleMania, that would be really good booking. But yeah, the possibility is also there, as you say, that he could be part of the main event mix for the Universal Championship. And if he is, then again, I'd have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah. So, and what about Balor and Miz then for the Intercontinental title? Do you think that is something that we could well see then?
It is. I suppose of all of the different opponents for the Miz in terms of the Intercontinental Championship and defending at WrestleMania, Balor would be the one that would make the most sense. You know, Balor is somebody who needs a decent run, a decent push. You know, he's yet another person that was sucked into nothingness through a never-ending feud with Bray Wyatt last year, and he's not fully recovered from that. So he needs a strong win at a big show, and what better way than having the opportunity to go over the Miz for the Intercontinental Championship in front of a crowd that will be heavily pro Finn Balor on 8th of April at WrestleMania. So that'd be ideal from his perspective and another championship belt for him.
Yeah. So your pick then, you're sticking with Braun Strowman, yeah?
I am. I think that the bookmakers will be wrong on this one. And Strowman is the man, and I'd love to see him win that match.
Yeah, well, if I was a betting man, I think my money would certainly be on Roman Reigns. But if I was being really brave, I think I would go for Seth Rollins. And I don't know why. I've just got this sneaking suspicion that something's been lined up here. But we'll see. I guess we'll see. And we will be back next week to talk through exactly what does happen, whether we do get some surprises. And just whether or not things live up to expectation, or in that hope of maybe they just exceed expectation and we actually have a great event. And it's not only the Elimination Chamber event, but I think because of the significance of the matches there and obviously the build to WrestleMania, I think the follow on from Elimination Chamber, that following night on Raw, could make for a very, very interesting show. So we will be back next week to talk the fallout from both the Elimination Chamber and from Raw. But before we go, I'll let you get a plug in here. You've mentioned it a couple of times, but your latest article there for the Daily Mirror.
Yeah, so the Daily Mirror ran a piece this past week with predictions for the Elimination Chamber. So myself and Neil Docking, Matty Lawless, and Tony Quant have come up with our predictions for some of the key happenings at the Elimination Chamber. And in fact, that reminds me, we have omitted to talk about something else that will be taking place, which is the contract signing of Ronda Rousey. And now that's another thing.
Oh, my words, yes. How could we forget that? Yeah, that could be interesting.
Yes, no, I agree. So I predicted in my piece that I suspect Stephanie McMahon will have quite a notable involvement in that whole segment. But
So everything has to be about the McMahons, doesn't it? I know it's their company. But yeah, SmackDown is about Shane. Don't let Ronda Rousey be about Stephanie, please. Please, let just...
You might be sorely disappointed, but you never know.
Anyway, so that just about wraps up this edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. My thanks to Mo Chatra, as always, my magnificent co-host. And our thanks to all of you, each and every one of you, for listening to the show, for hitting that download button. We do appreciate you, each and every one of you. We really, really do. If you want to be in contact with us, keep in contact with the show, we are on Twitter at @PW_index if you wish to give us a follow. But anyway, Elimination Chamber, so give it a watch. Let us know what you think. We'll be back next week to talk about it all. But until then, from me, Andy Wales, here at the Pro Wrestling Index, it's bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.